So 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. God's will is not that we become people who grumble, complain, and are ungrateful. God's will is that we are thankful. I always tell my girls, like, if there's one thing I can teach you, I want to teach you to be grateful. Because if you're grateful, then what you do, what you have right now has longevity in your life. It's almost like it moves closer to you. But what you're ungrateful for will actually decrease in value. It can be of massive value to you, but it'll become of no value to you because you're ungrateful about it. And all of a sudden, what was a blessing feels like it's average and it starts to leave your life. So what you're grateful for actually comes closer to you, and what you're ungrateful for actually moves away from you. You start to distance yourself from it. What's crazy is some of you have experienced that. You pray to God for that spouse and you become ungrateful for that spouse. Now there's a huge gap in your relationship. Well, whatever you're grateful for moves closer to you, and what you're ungrateful for moves further away from you. You might even find at work, you got this job and you were so pumped and you told your friends and Facebook, you're like, new season, and you started your new job. Now you've been in the job for a year and you're actually not grateful for the job anymore. Now you feel distance from your colleagues, from your boss. And so God actually wants us to be grateful. There's a huge blessing, not only in the way it actually draws relationships closer to us, but God's actually enthroned on the praises of his people. And the gratefulness. He's not enthroned on the grumbling. He's not enthroned on our grumbling about things we don't have. And if we're going to have a powerful life, we're going to have to be thankful people. That's why I always tell my girls, what do I teach you? To be grateful, Dad. I'm just drumming it away. I'm trying to teach them, because sometimes when they're not grateful, it actually frustrates me. Any parents out there, when your kids aren't grateful, it frustrates you? Like, we'll have these scenarios. I'll pick my girls up from school, and then one of their friends are going to the tuck shop, and they'll come. And what happens is Zara goes to another school, so I pick Zara up, and I go pick up Juliana. And so Zara then runs to Juliana's class and waits outside, and I wait in the front, and then she comes running with the sister, and they run, Dad, so-and-so is going to the tuck shop. Can we also go? And then, of course, I'm like, not today, girls. We can't go to the tuck shop. And they're like, oh, like, this is the end of the world. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, everything we have is like doesn't exist anymore. Like the fact that I'm even there to pick them up, that's a waste of time. You know what I mean? Like, I can't go to the tuck shop. But that's actually what ungratefulness does. It actually takes your eyes off what you have and actually puts your eyes on what you don't have. And then what you have becomes neglected and ends up moving away from you. Have you ever done that? You got something and God blessed it, and then now you start to keep your eyes on something else, and what you have, you without realizing it, you're actually creating a space in your life, a gap, and it moves away from you. How much more would God be frustrated with us because we get frustrated with our children, okay? When we're trying to teach him to be grateful. And so it's so important for us to actually watch out and cultivate our gratefulness, cultivate thankfulness, cultivate that attitude. Philippians 2 verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling against God. Do all things without grumbling against God. Side note, when we're grumbling, have you ever thought of it that you're actually doing it against God? Like, when you are ungrateful for what's happening in the nation, at your work, in your marriage, yes, we can point out what we're ungrateful for, but it actually affects us and God as well. And we need to go, God, I'm not going to live my head in the sand. I'm not going to live in the clouds, but I'm actually going to start to watch where I've just become a grumbler. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10 says, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. Paul's actually speaking to the Corinthian church here, and he actually says, your grumbling and complaining is just like the grumbling and complaining that the Israelites did in the desert. The Israelites had lost so much perspective in the desert about the victory God gave for them, that he got them out of slavery, that they grumbled and complained and they saw the days in Egypt as better than the days in the desert. They actually grumbled that they'd rather be in Egypt under slavery, working 12 to 16 hour days, getting whipped, than be in the desert with the pillar of fire and the cloud by day and the fire by night and the manna from heaven, which meant they never lacked anything. And even the fact that their clothes never wore out, they became so familiar with a blessing that they actually became grateful for their past in a way. There was actually not a good past. It wasn't better days in the past. And sometimes that's what we can do. Sometimes you prayed for your spouse and now you're going, I wish I was single again. And just praying for, you prayed, you were jobless, praying for a job. Now God gave you a job. Now you become ungrateful. Now you're just going, you know what I mean? I wish I was just without a job. Like we need to keep the perspective and we need to see how God's blessed us. Paul was saying that you've actually, because of your grumbling, you actually can't see your blessing anymore. Grumbling blinds you. Grumbling blinds you to what's actually good in your life. Grumbling blinds you to the blessings in your life. And yes, there won't be a destroying angel like the angel that came and killed 3,000 people in one day in the Old Testament because of grumbling. That should be a warning about grumbling. But it will be destroy something. You know, we don't see an angel destroying us, but I promise you, grumbling is the sort of chemicals that you pour into your marriage to destroy it. Grumbling is the chemicals you pour into your work life to destroy your career. Grumbling is what you pour into your relationship with your kids to destroy, to disconnect you from your children. I promise you, people don't go where they tolerate it, they go where they celebrate it. So don't be surprised when no one's showing up at your house when you're always grumbling. You know what I mean? Because people don't want to go, they're not attracted to it. They're not attracted to the complaints. How much more is God only enthroned on our thanks and praise, but he's not enthroned on our grumbling. So Paul says, you need to watch out because it's pretty much going to destroy something. But even the Israelites, the 3,000 who died on the day because of complaining, something dies inside of us when we stay in a place of complaint and grumbling. And it normally ends up hurting marriages, relationships, careers. To see how important it is not to grumble, you actually have to look at Numbers 13 and verse 4 and 5. It says, let's look at Numbers 13 verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground in the whole before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, of course, Sananan and Caleb, tore their clothes. Now, what's interesting is Moses and Aaron, and then Joshua and Caleb, they were the two spies, and the other two men were leading Israel at that point. When the Israelites complained, if you read into this, they actually fell on the floor. They actually sort of got the chills. You know what I mean? They were like, ugh. When you hear grumbling and complaining, are you attracted to it? Or does it put you off? Do you find yourself getting involved in grumbling? It's almost like it's your fuel. It's like you get fueled by it. Because here's the thing, people attract who they are. Birds of a feather flock together. If you find a lot of your friends complain, you need to find some new friends. You actually need to start going, wow, everyone I know talks about the country being bad, their job, their spouse, their kids, you know, they always neglect. Like, you need to start to check your circle. You need to start to go, well, listen, clearly, I'm a grumbler. It's like I enjoy the company of grumblers. Because these men fell on their faces. The men who fell on their faces, they actually are heroes of the Bible. They were living in a place of thanks and a place of praising God. So when they heard the grumbling, they actually sort of distanced themselves. They actually repented and tore their clothes off of the people. And they were heroes of the Bible. Do you know the names of any one of the grumblers? No one does. It's crazy. It can sound a bit weird. But when you're a grumbler, it's like you're a zero. But when you are grateful, it's like you're a hero. It's like the heroes of the Bible, were people who thank God and they were people who praise God. They were people who could enter into what God had for them because God was enthroned on their lives. But the grumblers, they died in the desert. I always say this, I think it's a verse for anyone who's trying to flourish, but it says the rebellious live in a dry land. I reckon you could say the grumblers live in a dry land. The grumblers live in a desert. You can be in a marriage and start grumbling and the marriage can run dry. There'd be nothing of nourishment in the marriage because you've distanced yourself from all the good things by complaining about what you think's bad. You can be in a job and never flourish because you're a grumbler. That job will become a desert for you because you can only receive from that which you honor. So all of a sudden your boss is flourishing, but you can't receive anything from your boss because you're always complaining about your boss. See, the thing is, just because you show up at work doesn't mean you'll receive something from them. You have to honor them to receive. And it's the same attitude of being thankful and grateful that releases something in your life. I think if we have what 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's radical gratefulness. That's having radical gratitude. If we have that kind of gratitude, we become people who can conquer in every season. Because here's the thing, if we have radical gratitude in every season, it means every season gets turned for our good. That every season, even a desert season, is a preparation season then. Even a season of pain becomes our gain. There's nothing that's lost to us if we're grateful. No hard time in your marriage has lost you, because the thing is, when you're grateful, even in the hardest of times, you become a better steward, and a better student of what's in front of you. It's like everything is. See, the thing is, even when you have pain, not only in staying grateful will it be your gain, but when you have pain and you stay grateful, it's actually somebody else's gain. Because you learn something, and when you see them going through their pain, you come alongside them and say, I've been there, I want to help you. It's like if you can stay grateful, every season becomes an opportunity. I remember a lady named Julia Taylor, her and her husband, Bill Taylor, were elders here. Now they run a church in Johannesburg. And she shared a story, I never forgot, about a friend who had everything that the world said was good, and they lost it very quickly. And she used to go for walks on this beach that was close to her house, and it's up the East Coast. And she'd pray in that. And for 4 months, every day, she's walking the beach praying. At one point, she actually says, God, when will you restore me again? And God says, I have. We've never been this close. Hopefully, we never need that to only get us close to God. A hard season. But sometimes we need a revelation that God can even use your pain for your gain. And in that space, God did more transformation inside of her because she was so close. And that's how God transforms you, gives birth to a new thing. He wants you close. But every season can be a blessing to us. That's why, number one, thankfulness can turn your pain into gain. That's the thing you need to remember. Staying grateful is key. We need to turn our pain into gain. See, when we aren't grateful in every season, we actually get bogged down by the season. It's like we either go under the circumstances or we sort of live around the circumstances. When you live in complaints, you know what you do is you circle a problem. And what you don't realize is you actually start to live like the Israelites did in the desert. You must remember that the walk through the desert, like different theologians say, it would have taken them 40 days or so many days. You know that they lived in the desert for 40 years? But that's what happens when you circle a problem. So you're supposed to be walking forward, but you just circle. Complaining circles a problem. And so you either circle it or you get under the problem. And that's why some people say, I say, how are you doing? Are you grateful? Well, under the circumstances, Andre, I'm not that grateful. Okay, well, what are you doing under what God's over? What are you doing under what God's already got a victory over? See, but Andre, how do I get out from under the circumstances? Well, you have to stay grateful because gratefulness changes your perspective. And if you have a different perspective, you start to learn from the pain and it becomes your gain. But if you don't have a gratefulness in the circumstance, you get under the circumstances. And you're right, under the circumstances, what is there to be grateful for? But God's not under it, He's over it. He's the King of all kings, the Lord. So everything's actually there for your gain. It gives you, it's an opportunity for a different perspective. If you can stay grateful in the season, what happens, you might knock into some, as some people say, you know, have you ever heard that statement? Every level has another devil. You know what I mean? Have you ever heard that? You might knock into a devil, but if you step back and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? And I want to thank you that you're my Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror, that you're guiding my steps, the steps of the good man and the good woman are ordered by the Lord, that God looks across the earth to show himself strong on those who are fully devoted to me. You start praising him, thank him. What happens is you start to rise above it because thanks takes you into the gates and into his throne room. I promise you, his throne room is not under the circumstances. It's above everything. And all of a sudden you find yourself in the throne room. And what happens is before you know it, you're actually looking over the circumstance. And without realizing it, you've actually gone to another level. But here's the thing, at every level, there's another devil. And then you start to see every devil's an opportunity to go to another level. So every bit of pain is there for your gain. But you need to stay grateful in every season. In all, it's a radical, and God says to stay away from grumbling, stay grateful, even the hardest of times can be a blessing to you. The next thing that gratefulness does, it fuels, gratitude fuels fellowship. Do you want to, in this Christmas season, if you are far from your family, all you need to do is become grateful and you'll move closer to them. Share your gratitude with them that you have for them. You'll move closer. Because here's the thing, gratitude is the fuel for your relationship. It will move them closer and you closer. And yes, and I've said it, people come where they celebrate it, not where they tolerate. If you start to celebrate them, they'll start to move closer towards you. And it needs to be genuine, because there's people, face it, people can smell fake. We live in a world of social media where people are sort of put off by fakeness now, because social media is just a show reel and it's like, look at how amazing my life is, but you don't see the real life. So people want real. People can smell fake. But gratitude is the fuel. Philippians 1 verse 3 should be a verse that we say whenever we think about our spouse, even your family, your mom and your dad, this should actually be a verse that rings true. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Is that what you do? Or every time you think of that person, do you give God a list of how you should change them? Sometimes that's what we do. But if you want your relationship to go further, you need to put some fuel in the tank. Thankfulness is the fuel your marriage needs to go the distance. But if you aren't grateful for your spouse, it is going to run out of fuel. It's going to sputter and then side of the road, and people are going to climb out separate doors and say, see you later, alligator. I'm out of here. But we need the fuel. See, the thing is, when you honor your parents and you're grateful for them, it says you'll live a long life. There's a reaping of longevity in that space. I promise you, you want your marriage to go the distance. You need to honor and be grateful and love your spouse. But if you're not pouring that in the tank, you will wake up and actually despise and neglect what you've been praying for. The blessing you got from God, you'll look at it as average. You must remember the manna that the Israelites seed in the desert was manna cooked in heaven. God planned that menu. God, I reckon, is the best chef ever. But when you become ungrateful, even the best food becomes average. Even the best marriage can't stand the test of time when there's not gratefulness in the marriage. With your family, with your kids, with your parents, you need to pour some fuel into it. And this is the season of pouring fuel in. Number three, I'll have the worship team up. Staying thankful keeps you on the potter's wheel. Staying thankful keeps you on the potter's wheel. If you're on the potter's wheel, it means you're in the potter's hands. Anyone know pottery over here? I apologize if I get anything wrong as I speak about it. But pottery is a potter taking clay and putting it on a wheel. Of course, he puts the wheel on and he forms the clay. Hey, you guys understand that? In Jeremiah, it speaks about clay that's not in great condition. It's marred. It's actually not been prepared properly. And God takes the clay and gives it a brand new start. It's like he reforms it. It's like he turns it around for its good. If he can turn it, he can form it. See, that's why it's so important to repent. It's a change of mind. If God can turn you, you can change you. You know, and it's like, but if some people say, God, you changed me, but this is the way I'm going to go. No, God needs to turn you to change you. But on that, where does he turn you? He turns you on the potter's wheel. He turns your mourning into dancing. He turns everything for your good. How do you stay on the wheel? You stay thankful. Because thankfulness takes you into his presence. And then he puts you on the wheel. And he puts you in his hands. And he makes you wonderfully and skillfully. He reforms you. But he makes you for purpose. To hold great purpose. To hold great calling. To hold great destiny. Thankfulness puts you back on the wheel. Even Nineveh, the city that was the most evil city ever, Jonah gets told, go there and preach the gospel. He says, I don't want to go. He, of course, tries to run away. He gets sort of swallowed by a whale. He ends up being spat on the shores. And then he tells them, God says, if you don't repent by then, God will destroy you. But then there's a gap. If you repent, if you turn, God will do something. Jonah's upset, but you know what they do? They get on the potter's wheel. And God saves the most evil city. Even the most evil city on the potter's wheel can be reformed. Even the most evil city, the most marred clay ever, can be changed and reformed. Can't God do that with you? Can't God do that with your marriage, with your relationships, with your job life? Thankfulness puts you back on the potter's wheel, and he could turn your mourning into dancing. He could turn all things for your good. Stay thankful, stay grateful. And lastly, thankfulness puts our attention on what God is doing and what God has done. What God is doing or what God has done. And I've got this line here. I'm gonna ask him to keep it up for a while. What if you woke up tomorrow with only the things that you were thankful for today? And we ask him to leave that up. What if you woke up tomorrow? Would you still be married? Would you still have a job? Would your kids be living at your house? Would you have food in the fridge? Would you have a bed to sleep on? Would you have a roof over your head? Would you still be in our church? Grumbling has terrible side effects, but thankfulness is amazing. There's amazing blessing in thankfulness. So what I want to do is, I've actually got a list that I'm writing on and carry on. I've written both sides. And before you pick up your paper, there's a list under your chair, but before you pick it up, let me explain. I'm going to ask you to start filling out, and it starts this week. Next week, we're going to preach again, but on a practice, and show you how to practice Thanksgiving. But it's going to start here. Can I have everyone's attention before? I want you, this list, to be the start. You might write it about your spouse and then maybe put in a Christmas card. You might sit down with your spouse and tell them what you're grateful for. You might even write a letter to your colleagues or your boss. You might write to your children. But I actually want, what do you want to have a future in your life? What do you want to have more of? What do you want to have go the distance? Start writing and thanking God in those areas. Because you're going to pour some fuel now into different areas. Leanne and I at the bottom, and this is for anyone who wants to, Leanne and I are giving a Thanksgiving offering above our tithes. It's going to go to Kingdom Builders, but there's a reference at the bottom. No one will know what it is. You know what I understand is I've never met a farmer who gets four bags of seed and puts it in his barn and says, next year we're going to have a great harvest. No, he puts it in the ground. Don't let what you've received this year not impact next year. Next year needs a seed. The vehicle with which you drive into your future is the seed in your hand, which you need to release into the ground. So you guys, however you want to thank God, writing it down, we want you now, in this moment, grab under your chair or in the seat cover in front of you. I'm going to ask him to sing. For the next 5 minutes, I want you to start. You're not going to finish your list today. You're going to dismiss it off, but start writing a thank you list. I wrote to about my spouse, my kids, my parents, this church, the staff. I'm just writing that I get to live in this country, this city. Again, Cape Town got voted best city in the world. Are you grateful? Or would you be living somewhere else if you woke up tomorrow because you're not grateful for it?